Doesn't work?
Doesn't work.
Oh, it did.
That doesn't work.
Okay.
You positive? Okay. So, hi everybody, welcome to Oxygen. This is David Mignoni. He's Icon King. How we've done it in the past with one things, certain icons or certain ideas, and in the end, that just over time makes things fall apart. So we define two color palettes, and that's one normal color palette and one vibrant color palette. The normal color palette would be something that is used for almost all icons, whereas the vibrant color palette is only used for small enhancements of the icons or small parts of the icons to convey the subliminal message better so that the person can identify it easily. So it sticks out more. Second part is the think while you're moving on this. We've defined the basic set that anybody kind of defines when you're making icons, and we went on beyond that to improve things. And it's something that we've taken from different ideas, from different icon sets, and put them all together and thought kind of new. And we need a lot of help with this. So the usability side of things is that we need help defining all this from experts. We need to test it. We need to make sure that everybody understands it so that we don't define things that are useless. So, the ways that you define icons in Oxygen is through the form and using colors. We're using very simple elements, like you saw a very complicated mime type. We're using bellies, very simple elements on top of that, so that they're very easy to understand and they're very identifiable between icons. We're using colors in a kind of new way, and it is a fundamental goal, really, to find what you're looking for. And I'll explain that in a second. It's really hard to see here on the screen. But the media mime types, we've taken rich media mime types and said that they, because they're rich media, because they're more active, they're animated, they have sound, they have video, we've made them more saturated, and we're saying that all those items will have more saturation from the vibrant palette, so that they stick out more in your eye, whereas non-media rich types are less saturated and use less color. I think nowadays most people on the desktop stick to the media rich items and stuff, flash and movies and video. So the system files that most people really aren't interested in will be more sober gray tones so that they don't stand out in everyone's eye. This is what helps people define what they're looking for and what they're not looking for. So this is the interesting part, is we're trying to define everything in logical sets so that we can separate them by color. If you look at this, you see that green defines audio, and the roundness defines a CD. So you can clearly see at any size that that's a CD, and that those are audio CDs. They're somehow related. You might not know at a really small icon size the difference directly between everything, but you know immediately that's an audio icon. And then looking at it, you can define what kind of icon it is. Using the CD image with the red tone, then denotes burn. And those are the kind of colors that we're trying to find out how everyone perceives those colors. We've got a lot of information in the internet, and a lot of it is contradicting. So it's really important that we test this to find out what people use and how they understand. So the idea is that because we're using SVG, they're going to be really big items, and there's a lot of flexibility to them. KSVG2 is really, really, really nice. It's got a lot of new stuff. It's very interesting for us, and that's what's led us to say we're going to make 100% SVG stuff from now on. We want to take advantage of its infrastructure, the flexibility used in it, to be more creative and make new ideas of file interaction and stuff like this. Because of the size of 120 by 120 pixel icon, if you just have it on the screen somewhere, it might look really neat as a very complicated icon, but there's a lot of possibilities for new ideas and for new file interaction ideas. We thought of this, we've been working with Aaron and his plasma stuff, and it really appealed. And this is one example. As you see, we have mind type icons, so one thing we're making, and you mouse over it, you can see related functional sub icons which could appear and show you something. Another idea that we thought of was to have a mind type and flap that when you mouse over could fold down and offer some kind of extra functionality. That's, again, who knows if it's implementable, that's not the point at first. We'd like to create as many new ideas and present them to everybody here. Thanks just to bring in new ideas and bring new features into it. So So the last part, the last part is the user cases. And we need to know who this is for and how people use it so that we can make the artwork better for those people. Until now, we've been looking for technical people in movies. It's very flashy, it's kind of fun, I guess, at the time. And in the meantime, it's just disoriented and it doesn't represent ideas anymore. It's just a lot of neat little artwork all the way to the group. I'd really like to define use cases for KDE so that we know who's used, rather than the graphics part of KDE, so we know who's using their stuff and how they use it, why they use it, and what they need. I don't think very many people really dig the enterprise market or listen to that. They don't need this, they don't need that, but it's the case, and that's what you make impression of stuff. So, I think that's it. Would anybody like to ask any questions?
This is a very theoretical question. Let's just say, Q4.1 is going to support SVG. And let's say, really theoretical, it's 1.2 times with animation support. And let's say it's going to also support styles that are available with SVG fully. Including animations. Would that get you boring?
No, not at all. In fact, I've looked into a lot of earlier, about a year ago or more, I looked a lot into doing SVGs with style sheets so that I can easily change the colors of all the SVGs so that I can make a gray set, a blue set, a green set of certain things. In some ways, that might help us be more flexible. As far as animation goes, that's the first I've heard of it. I think it's a great idea. It would be excellent, fun work to do. I've done some stuff with scripting and scripting SVGs. Animations and stuff, but I'm not sure exactly how we do it. I'm not sure exactly how KDE uses SVGs, if it's parts of it, or if it's the whole SVG, or how it does it.
Are there any tools that actually do create animations for SVG?
No. It's all, what I've seen until now, or what I've done until now, is basically JavaScript.
And what do you guys use to create SVG files?
VI. I mean, for those kind of things. I would use Inkscape to create a form. To be honest, if I'm really drawing, I'll start in Illustrator because it's got better drawing tools to draw the basic forms. And we export it using Inkscape and touch everything up, make the different sizes, make everything correct, make it nice for Linux to make sure, although now that's not even such a problem. And then take it and script it.
Because they have the right calls. What about certainly possible if there's an infrastructure to support you.
How are you going to value the idea of having different policies for example, different ways you get from the time, like the last access and last one time, or size in visual appearance?
Actually, when it comes to different concepts like date and time, those things will come into play as well. So yes, that is the same case. You see that often in other things that forward is bringing them backwards.
SVG groups into it, and then defining when we're rendering it, which one to use.
things like this.
I was intrigued by the idea of having the sub-icons on the main icon. We had the play and the information icon. But presumably you'd have to already be hovering the mouse over the icon for them to show or something. I was just thinking that if you're already focusing and you've got the mouse cursor on that, there's no need to have the icons attached to the file. You might as well have them come out a lot more and have a proper timing, the sort of high thing. So they don't have to be attached to the icon at all.
I think the thing is because they represent functionality that's related only to that file, that's why we wouldn't be able to take on the file.
Because everything's connected.
Vertical or around, yes, in that area. There's the one thing that you did mention that we thought of is that this suggests another form of interaction with the file. And you don't just have selection. You have this mouse over event, which is for a selection event before the selection event. Although, if I can show the animation quickly. Where is it? Can you open this in the animation directory?
Cat?
Yes.
There's one thing I could say to that. You were suggesting a pie menu, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Marius and I talked about yesterday when discussing that problem. Marius is pretty much the author of all the stuff in the queue. So we went through the possibilities of doing that stuff. The way from there is possible. We're currently evaluating pie menus. The problem is how do you make it show up? Is it like hovering? Is it like hover plus delay?
Exactly.
You don't want to delay actions just because you have delay to wait. Because if you don't have delay, there's just that problem. How do you do that?
Exactly. That's what I meant when I would suggest another selection.
Yes, exactly. So if that is solved, I think that's a great way to do things. But it takes a lot of effort. There's to be a lot of limitations attached to that.
The idea, I think, behind it is that it makes the idea of context with you. So many people don't get that. So many people don't get
Yes.
Both my father and my wife's father don't know that there's a white mouse button. And I told them 1,000 times, they just don't understand. They don't use it. And this shows in visually the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
air conditioning is only here. There's no air conditioning.
Yeah, he can't play an animated GIF on his knees. Find the line thickness of that, you can do all kinds of stuff in that, so you can make it thicker, different color. and stuff like that. So it's basically the same thing what you're saying. Or am I wrong? Am I misunderstanding?
We're talking about engine, so if you have a system for the same type of engine, instead of making two separate lightning groups that for example one lightning group to for small size and a second is completely different SVG file for big size, maybe it's better to have a dynamic thing in this embedded in the SVG file that we should correct the outline.
Right, that's what I'm saying. What it would happen is you have the lines in the big files. They're just not as thick. And sometimes you need to blend some things out and make other things thicker. So that's theoretically all possible. It just depends on the infrastructure. Otherwise, you're doing it all by hand. If I'm doing it all by hand, I can just as well shrink them all.
The 3D graphics picture already did that.
He said that the people in the games community, let's say, are already doing this. Trying to reduce the number of polygons in their models by detecting lines and emphasizing them so that it shows a form better.
When you hover over the icon and then you get the sort of different sub-icons, one of the problems is that, you know, the file size is sort of a nice size and sort of hit it. If you've got then something smaller to hit, and people expect a nice big play button, you know, something nice and easy to hit, not
very small. That's why in an application they would be bigger. And they're also simpler. We made all of our icons very simple. In these things, we're only talking about a bigger size. Any small size would include this, or if you can't, this just wouldn't fit. You can't click on it.
What if it just had one icon that changed? So the whole file then just went into the play button.
That's been very much my question, because how do you define which functions for which files? Often there's a lot of functions and you have to kind of support one type of people or one group of people or the other. People fight about that.
So that's a good idea to run without too much data. I mean, inside the eye, it's about around
the eye. That was also a question. Are you able to still
get that?
Thanks for using the microphone, by the way. I noticed some of the action items that they've got quite a dark border, and I was wondering if that's deliberate, since I know that that's what it's very deliberate. I know that's what Jeanette does, you know, this is not for the rest of the number of this, because you can scale down with the icon, because then the board takes up too much room and small levels. Actually, the reason they're so big is because when you scale them down, I mean, they look big in big sizes, which is the problem with making just one SVG. Because if I make nice thick lines, or make just making one picture, let's say, if I make nice thick lines and big sizes, and it's very simplistic, and you think, oh, God, that looks horrible, it's small, it'd be just a little clump of color. But really, by using these lines, when you make them nice and small, it only defines, you barely notice the line on the outside. It just defines the form better. So it's more visible, easier to understand.
Can you show us some more icons that you guys have made? The presentation you want to show up and you.
Yeah, we can show more. Go for it.
I'll
go
through.
See the difference in sizes. This is very nice with the scale. It's got an iPad export preview and it shows you the pixelized version of the thing. So that's the original file. And that's an iterative size. And these are then being rendered. You can see how the lines are.
Joke today.
today I got an icon in the application for it. It's just, in the menus, the number of icons shown there, you notice that the menus have lots of icons. People find this excellent, but there's only icons for like 3 or 4 things. And I really question if that's totally helpful then, if there's only a few icons and not others. And some of the icons are used again and again, like in Concrete, you configure the 7 different configures one after the other, and it just looks silly.
You said you want user input and new ideas, so where can we download it?
Until now, we don't have anything available. In fact, we've been kind of hiding things from everybody so that nobody starts copying what we've done. That's
with the toolbar sizes, the user existing icons and the icons in the menus and whatnot. This is one of the more, for me anyways, one of the more interesting exciting things about this is that traditionally we design software or the look, the art side of software independently from the usability side of it. The HIC people, we need to get involved with what you folks are doing, right? So that you can make recommendations that, okay, if we have 7 or 8 of these, this guy, just me, 7 or 8 of these, yeah.
We have 7 or 8 of these icons in the world that's easier to see. And if we have, you know, 12 of them, so, I mean, there's some art-related science here that needs to go into the HIC. As application developers, we then need to turn around and say, okay, this is what the HIC says, there's good reason for it, they put a lot of thought into this, I need to kind of respect that. And then plug out a review process. I don't know if you want to listen to talk, but the review process, and if you want to break that rule of thumb that says, no, since I can say icons in the toolbar, I need 10, then we need to come back and talk to the usability people and say, this is why, this is my justification. Obviously, depending on this for third party applications that are floating out on the internet. We can definitely do them for applications inside of KDE and applications that if we ever decide to certify them as, you know, KDE oxygenated or whatever. Yeah. Right? And that was actually something you were talking about the other day.
Yeah, definitely. That's also one thing that I like to do is to, I was talking to Jan, and it sounded very interesting, his idea would be to test the icons on a visual term, like show people an icon and say, what is it? And see if they get it, see how many people get it, to make sure that enough people understand the metaphors. And that's the same thing, the more well-defined this icon set is, the better it will be in the long run. Because then people, not all of our artists are really good artists. I know, don't be surprised, but it's true. And the more well-defined it is, the better they'll be, the more consistent it will set.
And that's the usage of the art.
Yes, definitely. And that's where it's always hard for an artist, because usually somebody programs something, puts some little boxes in there, and then comes and says, hey, it's an icon for whatever. And whether those icons are even defined, I need an icon for the third of last month on the afternoon. And you go, well, I can't do that in 16 by 16 pixels. It's impossible. There's certain things that do need to be done through usability and accessibility. That's not the hardest. We need the definitions so that we can do this correctly. That's about the end of the speech.